Welcome to TSN, the Reporters Podcast. I'm Dave Hodge, joined today by Bruce Arthur, Michael Farber, and Steve Simmons to talk about another week in the NHL, a week that saw Mark Stahl of the New York Rangers suffer an eye injury. No, he wasn't wearing a visor. That saw Ottawa rookie Dave Dzerzhinsky suffer a concussion. Yes, he was in a fight with Fraser McLaren of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the questions continue to be, should visors be mandatory and should fighting be banned? Did this week, Michael, change anything on either front?
I don't believe it did. Visors, pardon the expression, remain a blind spot of the PA. Freedom of choice rules. And players still favor fighting, whether it's staged or not. So until you get players moving in this direction, nothing will change.
I don't believe players should have a say necessarily in either of these issues. I think the game is larger than any individual. And frankly, when you break it down and talk to some players, there are players who are against fighting who won't state it because they know it's unpopular. Therefore, they leave it out that way. But in no other sport that I'm aware of, are players given the choice as to what to wear for safety or what not to wear for safety that's mandated? And it should be mandated in hockey, and visors shouldn't even be an issue.
The NFL tells you what the socks should look like.
Well, exactly. And players are moving. Players are moving in the NHL. They're not moving as a block, but if you look at the percentage of players with visors, it's up around three quarters now. It's being grandfathered in the league as the guys who don't wear visors are becoming grandfathers. That's happening. But when you talk about it from a league perspective, what this should be is this should be asset protection. You're paying these guys so much money, and it hurts your team so much when some guys go out. You should be able to dictate to players how you're going to protect them because they're your players.
If the New York Yankees can say you can't have a beard, and that doesn't violate the Players
Association. And that happens in hockey, too.
In any way at all. The New Jersey Devils do it.
But every sport develops in its own way, and these are issues that have been collectively bargained before, will be collectively bargained in the future.
But does that make it right that they have that say?
Well, they have the say, and the NHL chooses not to make it a priority. Because in collective bargaining, if you want something bad enough, perhaps you can get it.
If you asked the public years ago, would you prefer seatbelts or no seatbelts? People would have said no seatbelts. If you ask guys, helmets for motorcycles or no helmets? People would have said no helmets. If you give the choice, you're going to get the wrong answer all the time.
And you can't come into my factory unless you wear safety boots and a helmet. Mm-hmm. You may want to assume the risk, like I assume NHL players want to assume the risk and NFL players want to assume the risk. But in a lot of places, no, the choice is not there.
And Donald Fear isn't going to be pushing for this.
No, and that makes him wrong. He was wrong on drugs, and now he's wrong on this.
Well, here I am defending Donald Fear, but Donald Fear was defending a privacy issue with drugs. Now, he might have been on the wrong side of the Angels, and maybe it was the wrong thing for Major League Baseball, given its image, but he was defending his membership.
If you look today, every kid who plays hockey from the day they put their uniform on plays in a cage. So you play in a cage till you're 16 years old if you're a prospect. Then you move into junior hockey, where now you have an option. You can wear a cage or a visor. So you wear a visor, or college hockey in the States, same thing. So every player who comes to the NHL has played all of his hockey, or 90% of it, fully, with his eyes fully protected. Why then take off then? Why should that even be allowed be a question of it?
Never mind jurisdiction, but these changes are easy to make. You treat visors the same way they treated helmets, and you simply say, like every other sport says, no, you can't fight. In the NFL, you're trying to make it safer by defining what a legal tackle is versus what an illegal tackle is. And that's a lot more difficult than what the NHL solutions are there. I want to ask you what you think the reaction in the NHL offices might have been to what happened this week, especially with the fight, given the threat, if it exists, of lawsuits like the NFL is facing.
And that's really the elephant in the room when it comes to fighting. A little less so for visors, but when it comes to fighting, the fact that the league permits this, what's happened in the NFL is they had a period in which the science was unknown and was becoming known, and nothing changed in the league until long after the science involving concussions probably had become, a link had been established. Hockey's going to be in that same boat, and it's a matter of how quickly do you get out ahead of what's coming. And maybe hockey as a sport thinks that its players won't suffer the way that NFL players have suffered. Fully one-third of retired living NFL players are currently suing the league. In hockey, allowing fighting, you could argue, is worse than the hitting in the game. Because this is something that can be taken out of the game easily.
It
can be unpackaged easily.
And it's the relatively low-hanging fruit in the concussion debate. I mean, we don't know exactly what percentage of concussions are caused by fights. The NHL has provided some data on this. But it's the easy one to take out. And the NHL did make strides on this in 2009 when it was going to ban stage fighting. And again, it was the Players Association, which is about the last dollar and not about player safety, work.
Yeah, but I mean, at some point, and, you know, Steve has said this, but at some point you got to take control of the league that you operate, you run, you own. And when these things are, you know, cursing you time and again in headlines, it's not responsible to sit there and say...
But fighting is also a marketing tool, Dave. I mean, the fans seem to like it, and they've successfully marketed. You're handicapping yourself in this regard.
NHL is not going to ban fighting. That much we know. And much as I think they should, they will not.
No.
But what they can do, and as you point out, Michael, they did do and got turned around on it, just as realignment got turned around, so you can go back at this again, is you have to get rid of that fight that has nothing to do with the game or nothing to do with the play.
But if you have a concussion, what does it matter what kind of fight you received it in? Mm-hmm. I mean, really?
Well, and that's the thing. And then it becomes about the role of fighting, and that becomes this thorny issue in hockey where hockey believes that fighting still has a role, players still believe, and more, almost more importantly, general managers to a majority still believe that fighting has a role in hockey.
The reason you go after the so-called staged fights is because this isn't going to happen with a stroke of a pen. This is not going to be by fiat. It's going to be gradual. Just as you point out, Bruce, now we're up to above 70% in visor wear. This is going to have to be incremental, and the first step is the stage fights. Your chin doesn't know what you're hit with.
Could you really look yourself in the mirror after watching up close the McLaren-Zerzinski fight and say, this is what we are marketing in our league?
Well, the answer to that is simple. This has happened before. It will happen again. The NHL, you want to know what the NHL's reaction to the visor issue this week with Mark Stahl to this fight was? We've ridden this out before. This storm has happened before. It always passes. When Don Sanderson died in a fight, the call was on the NHL to change. The NHL didn't substantially change.
Actually, it did change. That's not correct. Fighting came down and came down significantly in a short-term basis.
Well, now it's short-term.
Short-term hasn't changed.
And now
that's variance.
Now, post-lockout, it's gone up significantly for whatever reason. I mean, we can come up with our own reasons, but you know, I think there's still a place for that part of game fight. But I don't think there's any place for the non-part of
the game. Well, it seems there will always be a place around desks like this for this discussion. We continue to have it year after year after decade after decade. That's it for TSN, the reporters in the podcast. Until we do this next time, so long.